I'm Bex, and welcome to the Week Junior Show. I'm joined by three of the team from the Week Junior, the magazine making sense of the world for 8 to 14-year-olds. Today, we've got features editor Ben, writer Michael.
Hello.
And assistant editor of the Week Junior's monthly Science and Nature magazine, Kieran.
Hello.
This week, we'll be talking about terror crocodiles, baby turtles, and we'll find out what's been going on with exam results this week. Plus, we'll have a debate all about summer. So before all of that, seeing as we will be talking about summer, I wondered, what is everyone's favourite summer activity? Ben, you can go first.
Well, I like the fact we can just spend more time outside, so I like to be able to lounge around on my outdoor sofa playing video games, which is very different to lounging around on one of the sofas in the living room playing video games.
I was going to say, knowing what I know about you, Ben, it's basically just the video games that you like, isn't it, right?
Yes, but this way I'm getting a little amount of fresh air.
Okay, fair enough. Michael, how about you?
Well, I'm quite lucky because my birthday is in the summer on the 1st of August, so I never had to go to school on my birthday. And also, when I was younger, I used to live in Switzerland, and the 1st of August is also their birthday. So there would always be big parties out in Switzerland, big firework displays, which gave me unrealistic expectations for what to expect from my birthday moving forward. No other birthday has quite been the same since, but it's still something I look forward to every summer.
I love having the same birthday as a country. That's amazing. How did you celebrate your birthday this year? Did you do anything special?
Had a little socially distanced garden party, and I got a Baby Yoda toy, which some members of the Week Junior team have seen on video calls.
Amazing. Awesome stuff. And Kieran, how about you?
Well, I grew up in sunny Scotland, which meant that summer was the only time that you can stay outdoors for a long period of time and be able to get away with having a barbecue or going for a swim outside or something like that. So summer for me is going camping, having a little swim in the river and smelling the barbecue sizzle away as you do.
Oh, delicious. I think mine is similarly food related. It is having a picnic in the park with my friends. That is one of my favourite things to do in summer. Also, I also have a birthday in summer, so I make all of my friends have a picnic in the park. Right, we also got to find out what is your favourite fact from this week. Ben, what have you been learning about?
I was learning about the Antarctic and discovered that the driest place on Earth is in Antarctica. It's called the Dry Valleys, which is an appropriate name, and it is virtually iceless.
So it's not like a desert in the middle of a really, really hot place. It's actually a cold place.
Exactly. I mean, there are deserts in Antarctica. They're just a different type of desert. But there is pretty much no snow, no ice, just nothing. Completely bone dry.
Wow. Michael, how about you?
Well, I found out something I didn't know about the history behind lunchboxes, which apparently lunchboxes first became popular in the 1880s when children began to pack their lunches into empty biscuit tins. So I don't know which child started that trend, but that's how the lunchbox began.
That is a lot older than I thought for the humble lunchbox. Kieran, how about you?
I learnt that there is a man in New Zealand who gets paid £8,000 a year to be a professional wizard.
Do we have any more details on that, or is it just that headline?
That's all you need to know, really. I suspect there are questions as to how powerful a wizard this man is, but he is supported in his endeavours, nevertheless.
I mean, I love this job very much, but that may be the new job that I aspire to get. I'm going to have to go research that after this podcast. Right, it's time for Real or Rubbish. Michael, what story have you got for me this week?
Well, Bex, have you ever been sold anything by an animal? Because a dog called Tucson Prime has been named top salesperson at a car dealership in Brazil. Now, Prime supposedly has a talent for sniffing out good deals for customers and can match them to their ideal vehicle. Now, obviously, his human colleagues deal with the financial side, the paperwork, but he's the one who's able to match someone to the car that is right for them. Now, do you buy this story or is it all just a pack of lies?
So hang on, what? So he'll see a person and be like, you know what, you need this silver car over here. And he kind of like woofs and drags them to it. Are we saying that he matches people to objects?
Yeah, he matches them to the car that's right for them. He you know, they follow the dog, they get to the car and they go, do you know what? This is the car we've been looking for. He seems to have this sense. He can tell which car is right for which person.
Can you imagine if you've got a family of six and he takes you to like a pedalo or something? I mean, why would you trust a dog to help pick what you want to be? Like, you're spending a lot of money. Why would you think, you know what, I could trust my own instinct. I could trust the person dealing with this, but now I'm going to trust this dog here. Mind you, dogs are cute, aren't they?
And, you know, supposedly man's best friend, so they know what's best for us. So why wouldn't you trust them with what car to buy?
Because I've got a dog and I wouldn't trust her to take me down the road, let alone invest in a car.
Some of it might be a bit more simple, though, because it might be, right, this is a family, so I'm going to take them to a large SUV. And for others, he might be able to tell from the fact that they've got reusable bags. Okay, I'm going to take them to an electric or a hybrid car. You know, it's not rocket science, Bex.
Who is this dog? Sherlock Holmes? All right, well, this super-powered intuitive dog has much more intelligence than I have by the sound of it, but I'm suspicious. I'm going to have a little think. And if you've not read your copy of the magazine yet, feel free to make your guess before the end of the show and we can find out this answer together. I am desperate. Right, okay, so I guess we should probably do our three favourite stories from this week. Ben, what have you been finding out about?
Oh, I've been finding out about some ultra-cute baby turtles. They're Olive Ridley sea turtles, and they get the name from the colour of their shells, which are an olive green. And they are the most abundant of all sea turtles. But the thing is, they are still vulnerable because they only nest in a few places. And if the beaches where they nest are disturbed by human activities, which is very likely because of tourists, that can have a negative effect on the population of the species. So on the 7th of August, more than 10,000 of these gorgeous baby turtles were released into the sea off the coast of Bali, which is an Indonesian island. And there were groups in the area and they carried crates full of these baby turtles to Gangmar Beach, and they got locals and volunteers to get involved. And there were dozens of people lining up to watch these little turtles scuttle towards the waves and go into the sea. And the way that it worked is the groups had collected the eggs after they'd been laid so they could protect the eggs from any disturbance, and then bring all these hatchlings, which were just a few centimetres long, back to the beach where they would need to be. And Jessica Lieberman, who was a volunteer from the US who'd gone over, said it's really exciting to see all these turtles being released into the wild. And they are adorable if you look at pictures. And also discovered that sea turtles can communicate with each other while they are in their eggs. They make sounds through the walls of their eggs to their brothers and sisters.
That's pretty cool. So they just kind of tap away, would we say, on the side of the eggs?
Oh, making like kind of little like croaky noises. Yeah.
Can we have an example of that now, please, Ben?
Well, the turtles that I looked at were also very good at recommending cars. So they kind they say things like buy a hatchback, and it's only through the eggs, and it's in different languages. Obviously, I can't speak sea turtle.
Oh, right. Wow. Okay. Well, I thought you could. Tell me, can we see pictures of these turtles in this week's issue?
You can, and they are super, super, super adorable. When you see the pictures, they are more grey than you might imagine because they turn green as they get older.
Michael, what has been going on in the world for you this week?
Well, one of the biggest stories this week has been to do with exam results in the UK. Now, as some of our listeners may know, people weren't able to take their A-level or GCSE exams this year because of the coronavirus outbreak. So instead, teachers predicted what grades they thought their students would have received had they been able to take the exams. However, their final grades were actually calculated using a formula which was based on how their schools had performed in previous years. And what this meant was that many students got grades which were significantly lower than what their teachers had predicted for them. And this meant that they couldn't get into their preferred universities or in some cases any university at all. There were some students who were predicted B's or C's who would then get grades as low as a U. So students across the UK protested about this. They said it was unfair that they were being punished because of how their school had performed in the past, and these grades weren't a fair reflection of their work or of their ability. So one by one, all four nations of the UK, all the national governments in England, Scotland, Northern Ireland and Wales decided that they were going to change the decision, reverse the grades and say that students would instead be given the grades that their teachers had originally predicted for them. So it was a big victory for students across the UK who had made their voices heard, who had gathered to protest against this unfair formula, and they've now been given better, fairer grades which will hopefully now mean they can go to their preferred universities and they'll be feeling much happier than they were before. Because as you can imagine, these lower results caused a lot of distress to students and their parents as well. And so the governments have apologized for this and changed course. So it was a good victory for students and for peaceful protest and making your voice heard.
Yeah, this was a really big story this week. I guess a lot of our listeners might have older brothers or sisters who are kind of caught up in it. And it must have been a very, very stressful time.
Yeah, exactly. As you say, may have had older brothers and sisters. And of course, one day listeners will be taking these exams themselves. And you can imagine just the stress and the unfairness of not being able to take the exams, first of all, and then being predicted something by your teachers and then receiving a result which is, you know, so far away from what you would have done and what you know your ability is. So for them to get the government to change this decision is really good. And hopefully that means that if anything like this would happen again in the future, that there won't be a repeat of this and they'll know what to do next time.
Yeah, it's really reassuring to see that action can have a reaction almost. Kieran, how about you? What have you been finding out about?
I'm returning us to the world of reptiles, but I'm not going with cute little baby turtles. I'm going with huge alligator ancestors, which have been nicknamed terror crocodiles, because they were big enough to take down even the largest dinosaurs. So these massive reptiles lived between 75 and 82 million years ago. And we've known about them for a while. They're called Deinosuchus, and if you see them, they do just look like a sort of extended version of a crocodile or alligator. But there's been a new study that has finally created a full picture of how they would have looked when they were alive and how they would have hunted. And it's pretty terrifying. They definitely live up to that nickname of being terror crocs. They had teeth that were the size of bananas, and they could have measured up to 10 metres long, which makes it one of the biggest ever crocodilians, which is the group of animals that includes alligators, caimans and crocodiles. And what they would do is they would paddle up to the water's edge, keeping themselves hidden just beneath the surface. And when a dinosaur came to the water to have a drink, it would suddenly launch forward in an ambush. And because it had such big teeth and such powerful jaws, it would have just been able to deliver a killer bite. We already have evidence that they ate massive turtles, they ate huge dinosaurs. And they, you know, they pretty much ruled the waters of North America at the time. But what's been quite interesting with this study is they have features that can't be found in any other crocodilian that either exists today or that we know about from prehistoric times. So they had a large nose that bulges up from the end of their snout, and they've got two holes as well in front of their nose, sort of like nostrils, but they don't feature in any crocodiles that exist today. And it's still a bit unclear as to why they had them. Was it so they could sit beneath the surface for longer and just have their nose sticking out? Possibly. Maybe it helped them to move more quickly, something like that. We don't know. And so the leaders of this study have said that they would like further studies to be carried out as more fossils of Deinosuchus become available to answer those remaining mysteries.
They sound absolutely terrifying, but it is quite cool to hear that, like, these kind of mysteries are still being discovered and, you know, there are still things out there to find out about.
Absolutely. And it is one of those things that we sort of see on the podcast quite a lot, that there are dinosaurs or prehistoric animals that we think we know everything about. And then there will be a new discovery or a new bit of research, and suddenly your entire picture of these animals can change.
And this week you've brought me terror crocodiles.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for that, Kieran. It's time for our big debate. So this week we're asking whether summer is better than winter. I think this is one of those ones which is an easy question to ask but a difficult one to answer. Who can tell me a little bit more?
I can. As you say, it's quite a straightforward question, but as a bit of background information, this year we've had the hottest day in August for 17 years, with temperatures in the UK rising above 36 degrees. By comparison, of course, winter is much colder, and last January 2019, there was a chilly minus 14.4 degrees recorded in northeast Scotland. Of course, during the summer, you have long days, short nights, and nice fresh strawberries and raspberries that you can tuck away on. But in the winter, it's long nights, short days, and Christmas dinners.
And Christmas dinners. Okay, so this is going to be Ben versus Michael. I'm going to challenge Ben to say why he thinks that summer is better than winter. Do you both have clocks or something nearby to count the time with?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, good. You're more reliable than some. Good. Excellent. Ben, you are ready to go first. Take it away.
You know that feeling when you open your curtains in the morning and there's this beautiful sunny day and you just feel great? You're not imagining that. Sunlight is linked to serotonin, which is a chemical in the brain that makes you feel satisfied and calm. That's why people are happier in the sunny weather. You get to go out and do far more things than you can in the winter because it's more likely that the weather will spoil things for you in the winter. You get to spend more time with family and friends, not just because of the school holidays, which are super long, but because you can spend more time outdoors, you can meet in the park, you can play games, have picnics, things like that. Also, you're healthier, not just your physical health, which is an easy thing to do because you're getting to play more sports, run around, be outside, but you're eating healthier food. And because it helps your general mood, it helps your mental health. There's nothing better for you than summer. Not just the vitamin D you get from the sunshine, but the happiness you get in life.
Oh, wow. That was bang on a minute and also a lovely argument. So well done, Ben. Michael, are you up to the challenge of replying to this?
I am, yeah. Winter is coming.
Already you're starting to win me over. Take it away when you're ready.
Well, some scientists say that the brain actually functions better when the weather is colder because your body's using less energy to try and keep you cool and keep your temperature down. And other studies have actually found that the cold can also spark a particular kind of creativity. And the thing with the winter is the weather never disappoints you. In the summer, people are either moaning because it's too hot. And then when it's cold and rainy, they're saying, oh, you know, what's the problem here? It's summer. It should be hot and sunny. You're never happy. Whereas in the winter, anytime you get a nice sunny day, you feel happy. And when it's cold and rainy, you can snuggle up indoors with a good film, a good book. And there's a reason why people say winter's the happiest time of the year. You've got all the festivities of Christmas and New Year, all the Christmas dinners, as Kieran mentioned, all the hot, nice, warm foods that you can't enjoy in the summer. You've got all the presents, all the celebrations. Even though winter might seem like the coldest and darkest of seasons, it is actually the brightest, warmest, and happiest. So winter, for me, every year, no question.
Wow, okay, lovely stuff. Kieran, what do you think about that?
Strong arguments on both sides. However, having just lived through the mini heat wave of the other week and hating it with a passion, I'm going to vote for Michael on this one because I just want some nice cold weather.
Okay, I'm going to go for Ben because as much as I do love Christmas, obviously, I also had forgotten that, you know, January and February is also winter and that is pretty grey. So, pretty controversial this week. Listeners, let us know what you think by responding to the poll. Go to theweekjunior.co.uk/poll or email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk with a video clip of yourself explaining which side of the debate you support and why. Last week, we debated on the podcast whether you should read a book more than once. And in our poll, a pretty whopping 87% of you said yes, just 13% of you thought you should always read something new instead. And here's what some of you had to say.
Louise, age 12, emailed to say, I think that you should be able to reread a book as much as you want. You can try new books and read old ones. One Pop Jam user wrote, well, you don't have to, but personally, I would if the book was really good. I have read Mr. Stink twice.
On Apple Podcasts, Edith wrote, I think that people should be able to reread books because it gives you a chance to immerse yourself in a different world and read about your favourite characters again. Reading a book again is like catching up with an old friend. I have read Harry Potter over and over again, so I believe that rereading books is a great idea.
Someone else on Pop Jam wrote, yes, of course, you wouldn't just listen to your favourite song once, would you? And somebody else added, yes, because the second time you may notice things that you didn't before.
All right, so as you heard, this is your chance to get involved. Grab a grown-up and record a video telling us what you think of this week's debate and send it in to us at hello@theweekjunior.co.uk and we might just play it out on next week's show. So have a recap of that real or rubbish story, shall we?
So this was the story that a dog called Tucson Prime is the top salesperson at a car dealership in Brazil. He is matching customers to their ideal car.
I mean, look, in an ideal world, this is a lovely story. This would be true. But I just don't imagine people blindly agreeing to what a dog tells them to do when it comes to buying a car. So I'm going to have to say, I think I'm going to say this week is rubbish.
Can I say though, Bex, I want to ask you something. Do you trust humans more or dogs more? Have you ever been deceived by a dog? Has a dog ever tried to trick you?
Yeah, all the time. my dog's like an evil genius. Yeah.
Okay.
Then she gives you those little doe eyes as if like, what, me? I couldn't possibly have done anything wrong. And then you have to forgive her. So this is what I just, I've been burnt too many times by people and dogs, maybe. I'm going to say rubbish.
Drum roll, please. It is rubbish.
Yes!
However, it is not a total fabrication because Tucson Prime does exist, is an employee at a car dealership in Brazil. They found him on the street. They brought him in. They gave him an ID card and everything. However, he's not the top salesperson. He's not matching people to their ideal cars. But there is a Tucson Prime out there. And who knows? Maybe one day he'll learn from the salespeople and maybe he will be able to develop those skills. Who knows?
He's clearly a very good boy and he walks around with a lanyard with his ID card with a photo of him on there, and it is super adorable. And if I was in Brazil and happened to be needing a car, I would want to go to this dealership, and I would encourage the dog to guide me towards the car that he thought. I mean, he's named after a particular car, so I'm guessing he's a little bit biased and would steer you, no pun intended, towards that car. But I would trust him.
I mean, look, I would take on board what he barked at, and you know, I would follow him a little bit. I'm also impressed, to be honest, he's got a lanyard. That's more than I have when I come to the Week Junior offices, so good for the dog. but yeah, I mean, if the dog is in my local car dealership, I would happily just see what he led me towards, but I may not buy it, that's all I'll say. Well, I'm relieved that I got that one right, thank goodness. That's it for the Week Junior show this week, so goodbye to Ben.
Bye-bye.
To Michael.
Goodbye.
And Kieran.
Bye.
Drop us a comment on PopJam at The Week Junior or email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk if you want to get in touch. And don't forget to rate, review and subscribe wherever it is you get your podcasts. Bye.
If you want to get your hands on a copy of The Week Junior magazine, we're offering a 6-week free trial. To get yours, head over to dennismags.co.uk/theweekjunior and use the code PODCAST.